You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Fraud, you know, visions, affairs, and it's only episode 2, y'all. On season 2 of Big Little Lies, we are here talking all things telltale hearts. So stick around and let's get to it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This is a bop.
It really
I love
is.
It. Love it so much.
It's on my playlist.
It is that time of week again, Sunday, for Big Little Lies, our HBO fix we got going. I'm so excited to be here. I'm joined by a wonderful panel. We are down a member. Jessie Zahner is not here, our resident mother. She is the mama expert. We miss you, Jessie, but she'll be back for episode 3, right? Mm-hmm. So show her some love. Go follow her. But I am here with Simone Thomas, our social media expert extraordinaire.
Hello, guys.
And I'm here with Mia Brabham, who is our creative director.
Hello.
She's creative. She knows all about the lies. She knows when mm-hmm. you're lying, and she can tell a good lie, right?
It's
right,
a radar.
Exactly.
A gift. A true gift.
Right. We have so much to talk about, because this episode, I wrote so many notes. I was like, oh, I got to make sure I don't miss anything.
Lots of action.
We got to talk about Madeline. Oh, Renetta and her husband.
Ooh,
of course, we can't forget about Miss Meryl Streep, or aka Mary Louise.
Mm-hmm. Her real government name, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I didn't know that. Shout out to, I forget who said that in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you're joining us live, please let us know. Give us your commentary, because you are just a part of the show. Just as much a part of the show as we are.
Yes, we're reading everything. We see it all.
So. Let us know. Be talking to you guys.
We had some good comments last
week,
for sure.
Yeah, we did.
So, this episode's called Telltale Hearts. What are your initial thoughts? I thought this episode title was perfect, because the old story, if you know Telltale Heart, is when the murderer commits a murder and he hides the body under the floorboards and he keeps hearing this heartbeat. Mm. So, it's kind of like this guilty conscience that these characters are going through. So, initial thoughts of what just went down.
I will say mom energy was really strong between Celeste's mother-in-law, Mary Louise, and her just knowing something's not right. Mm-hmm. And then Bonnie's mom coming up, she was incredible. She's
firecracker.
A little too aggressive, but her acting was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the kids this episode really aired out all the dirty laundry.
Right.
All of it.
And just showing that kids are really smart and intuitive, and they know what's going on.
That was my first thought, too. The kids. Kids just pick up on everything. Yes. And I feel like that was the big theme running throughout this episode. But for me, I couldn't help but feel like this episode is the little lies that's in the title Big Little Lies.
Right.
Like, it is the little lies of everything. It's outside of Perry's death. We have, like, the affairs, the kids, what they're learning. It's just so much more than this big lie, and I love that we're getting into the little plots. So exciting.
I can't even keep track of all the little lies that you brought up that were being told in this episode. I was like, okay, we got it. For people who are of age, make a drinking game for every time a big little lie is, like, told. That'd be perfect.
And for all the viewers, we watch this live together. We watch the show right before we come on air, and we literally screamed, and everybody else in the studio looked at us. We were like,
we're so
loud.
It's jaw-dropping.
So much drama.
I said it already, episode 2 of season 2. We're already, jaws are dropping, and it's ridiculous.
Especially this episode. It went from, like, last episode was good, but this went to 100 real fast.
Everything's set up. So why don't we just get to one of our first topics? Not one of the biggest. Okay, it's a pretty big topic. Renetta, we see our girl Renetta. Mm-hmm. She's looking good in her outfit. She's getting a cover shoot soon. But y'all, her husband, Gordon,
Gordon, Gordon.
Oh, with that fraud. I wrote it down. Got that. What was it? He has money fraud, wire fraud,
security fraud,
and security fraud.
Yeah.
So automatically, Renetta's like, my money! She doesn't even honestly care about him. She's just, but I mean, I understand where she's coming from, though, because he's the one who did this. Yes. So how are we dealing with Renetta? She seemed fine in episode one, but episode two is a different Renetta.
First of all, Renata is my favorite. How you feel about Madeline, Ollie? Like, that's my Renata. Like, I love her. She's so dramatic. She's so, but it's so natural. Like, she's like, it's so her.
Yeah.
And my new mantra is literally, I will not be rich. I'm saying that every day in the mirror. I was like, you are my
queen. Say that three times real fast.
Right? Renata will come out. She'll come out the mirror. But I think it was interesting, too. I don't know if anybody else caught this, but I loved her character development because we said in the first episode, we didn't see as much as Renata. Right. We saw her in her bold power red, but that was really it. And in this episode, we see so much of her, and we find out little bits of her background. And I loved the part when she was like, this is my entire childhood, Madeline. Like, I will not go back to this. And you can see the motive behind her just being like, I will not be rich. You know, everybody like wants to have money, but she just doesn't want to go back to her childhood. Exactly. I thought that was very powerful.
Right. And it's also, once you have money and you're used to that lifestyle, it's really, I think that's a humble drop to go down to. And then have to assimilate to the past that you used to know. But nobody wants to have that be their normal again. But also with, it was just such an abrupt change of, like, an environment from them, because she had her photo shoot and then the publicist, I think, booked something from her, and then instantly, like, it just got swept up
court
under from them. It just shows, like, how it humanizes life. Like, you can be on top and then on the bottom real fast, and that's literally what happened.
Big Renata energy.
I keep seeing her in red, too, which is very... It reminded me so much of, like, the Scarlet Letter and how you're wearing that red and kind of to symbolize kind of, well, not adultery in this situation, but kind of how you are in that position in the public eye where people are looking at you a different way now that you have done something, or someone, you're tied to something notorious. So,
or even just like red is a powerful color, so that's her way of asserting her power, even though she's still powerless.
I didn't think of that. That was good, Simone.
Also when she's freaking out in the courtroom, but like very quietly, you know, and she has this hallucination where everyone's laughing at her. I really believed it for a second, because I feel like everyone is so, in Monterey, they're all so out there and they're not secret about laughing at each other and being in each other's business. It's very upfront. So I thought it was real for a second, but to see her biggest fear play out, that she's just scared of what everybody thinks, was nuts.
And now it's almost as if, okay, well, I lost all my, I'm losing all my wealth, you know, my wealth is in jeopardy, my life is kind of at jeopardy now. So now that she's kind of showing this complete open, honest, like, Renata, like, it's crazy. She's just driving down, like, the coast with her husband. Get out of the car! Give me a moment! Oh, my gosh. It was wild. Laura Dern, you're killing it, girl.
That scene, amazing. And then when she stuck out her middle finger through the sunroof, I was like,
Tesla. Her freaking Tesla.
Stop. I'm having a moment. Let a woman have her moment. I was so here
for it. I was afraid. I was super afraid, because I was like, is she going to get into an accident?
Me too. Yes, when she hit the U-turn, I was scared too.
Not on the coast. That windy road. I was really nervous, especially our girl Celeste, which we'll talk about, and her.
Her accident.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we move on to the next topic?
The men in this, like, the only man in this show who I think is really honorable is Ed. All the other ones are just, they're either, they don't have their ish together, they're cowardly.
We think they do, but they really
don't. So her husband is slimy.
And we saw trash. That was my first note about him. Trash.
I didn't want to say that, but... There you go.
Well, geez, it's like, come on, fraud. That's not a term we like to play around with.
Multiple types of fraud on top of that.
It's like three counts. Yeah. It's like three counts.
Come on, dude. Now we know her storyline, though, because I was really wondering, how is she going to play into this season, you know? Well, before we get to our next topic, we got a message for y'all. Subscribe to us. Give us a like. Comment. 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate that, because we love you guys. We love week after week coming into the studio and talking about this amazing show on HBO, Big Little Lies, with an all-star ensemble. Please, that 5-star review would mean so much to us. Give us that 5-star review, and we will even shout you out.
We will.
And we just love talking to you guys week after week, because you are just as much as a part of this show as we are.
Yes.
So until then, like, subscribe, share with your friends on Facebook.
Let us know in the live chat.
We will shout you out. Just give us your little theories and predictions. Yeah, they're coming, because they're brewing in my head for sure. So moving on to Bonnie. Not only Bonnie, but also her mom, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth,
who
that's her name.
Is a new character, I believe. I don't think she was in season one at all. And I looked her up. You're familiar with this actress.
Yes.
And her name is Crystal Fox, which is okay. That's a foxy name.
Yeah.
But this character who just comes into the situation where she sees her daughter, you know, at odds with her husband, and the husband was the actual one
who called her.
Exactly. And she is just reading the house down. I remember that scene in the restaurant. She knows everything that's going on, and we kind of get this idea that she's kind of like clairvoyant. She kind of has visions, and she even says something to Bonnie by the end of the episode that, "What have you done this time?" That was a quote that's really stood out to me, and I was like thinking to myself, okay, has Bonnie been into some...
This time.
I know, has Bonnie been into some hot water before? So what are your thoughts on Bonnie in this episode and her mom, Elizabeth?
I will say, with the mom coming, obviously Nathan is the one who called for her help. So he was clearly asking her and, like, reaching out because he needs assistance with his wife. So when she read him at the table, I think it was a little aggressive. But then I'm like, it was also necessary because you call the woman to get help. And this is a two-way street. It's two people in this relationship. So Bonnie's not all the one to blame. Yes, she's being closed off and not communicative. But she's going to call you out on your ish. And it may not be very nice to hear. So the manner and, like, the delivery wasn't the best, but you called her for help.
Right.
What I love about this relationship and bringing Bonnie's mom into the picture is that, you know, the thing about television is that it's one world, the show is one world, and then we as an audience are the other, and we're third person omniscient. So the thing is, we always forget that we're on the outside. Like, the narration that we see may not always be true. So in the first season, I feel like we saw them all as characters that we didn't really know, and they don't really know each other. And now to introduce characters that know these characters deeper than the audience ever could brings this crazy layer.
Yeah.
Like what you said about her dropping that line, being like, is this, you know, we're like, what else did you do? We forget that they know, like, the past better than we do. So this is absolutely wild. I loved it. I loved her. I turned to you guys during the viewing, and I was like, do I love her? I'm obsessed with her. She just tells it like it is.
She's a character whose voice we needed because clearly there isn't enough dialogue going between Nathan and Bonnie at all at this point. And we needed her to kind of, even if it was aggressive, we needed that person to kind of push them into a point of hopefully getting their ish together, you know? And it's funny that as we talk more about this, almost looking back to season one, I feel like I didn't really know Bonnie a whole lot.
She's saw a character, her the least.
And I kind of, and we didn't really know Nathan. And now I feel like we are, Nathan was just kind of known as Madeline's ex-husband. And as with Bonnie was just kind of like the new wife, the cool new wife,
cool
stepmom.
Mom.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really excited to see, to learn more about them, and definitely Bonnie's backstory, because I'm already like thinking, okay, what has she done? But I remember I was watching it, and I turned to Mia. I was like, did we just see a crazy flash at one point when it zoomed into Elizabeth and we saw like this water? And Elizabeth brought up, I saw someone drowning in my vision. So she's taking these visions very seriously. And I just wonder, okay, I know this isn't predictions, but what were your thoughts on this character, Elizabeth, and her visions? Because it's, I'm like, are we getting supernatural at this moment?
Yeah. You know?
Well, I think her mom is going to learn through her visions, or just through, like, things that happen in real life, that stuff, like, her daughter's involved in this whole murder and everything. But I also thought it was interesting when she went into the room. I didn't know, like, was that connected to her clairvoyant ways? Like, I was kind of confused by that. Did you guys have any insight on that?
Yeah, that part? I was like, ooh.
Yeah, what
I
was happening?
I was like, what's going on?
Creepy.
It kind of reminded me of, it was very different circumstances, obviously. Bonnie wasn't waking up in the middle of the night screaming, but it was like this parallel with Celeste and Mary Louise and mothers coming in to check on their daughters, close bond where, like, the men are just kind of like, eh, I don't know what to do. You know, so as far as her clairvoyance, I don't know if it's like supernatural.
Right.
I think it's maybe more intuition. But I'm very curious to see how this plays out, and whether when she said it, I didn't want her to throw that term around lightly of like, I get visions. Like, I really want this to be a theme in the next few episodes if she sticks around for sure.
You just don't throw around that word visions, because I mean, that's interesting. Oh, visions. Like,
we're like, that's a raven.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All right. I predicted you would say that. No. And also, Bounty just fascinates me because also there was this thing. We know she's been taking up running, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But also she was talking. I think she was like hiking. Bonnie's taking up a passion for hiking.
That's the kind of hiking I like. She was just walking. I was like, good. No running. No climbing. Not into it.
But she was hiking with her mom, and Elizabeth says, she kind of made it seem like, why are you here? What are you running from? So I'm thinking, is Bonnie running from something? Is it something from her past? And I just thought it was a very powerful conversation that was kind of like quick and short, but she was like, Bonnie, you're like the only black person I've seen here.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Right.
So it makes me as a viewer, I'm like, wow, that's very poignant statement that she said.
Yeah. Yes.
So it makes me even just question, okay, why is Bonnie? I mean, obviously she has her husband, but what happened to Bonnie's in her past?
That led her there.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe that we'll save that for predictions, but any thoughts on Bonnie?
Well, give the people what they want. I think one thing is watching this show, clearly you see it's like all predominantly Caucasian women,
right.
And then there's Bonnie, Zoe Kravitz, but I think this is the first time the show really commented on that.
Exactly.
Because we had to know it was like somewhat part of the story, because I think everyone knows, you know, it's Monterey, here's the type of people that live here, but I was happy that the show commented on it, and I'm excited to see if there's a bigger theme with this whole thing of her as an outsider, and she was the one who pushed it, so does that, you know, reflect differently on her, because she's a woman of color, so I hope to see more commentary on that, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, this will bring us to another shocking revelation, which was Ziggy and the twins. Huge reveal. Okay, it's like this huge web. I have to keep track of all the players, all the spiders or whatever you want to call
family
it.
Tree.
Bottom line, in a nutshell, the kids are not stupid. You guys brought this up. They already knew that, you know, Ziggy and the twins were related. And we kind of get this idea that Chloe, which is Madeline's daughter, kind of told... Spill the beans.
She did.
So, already Ed's not having this. He didn't know because Madeline has just not been talking to her husband, as a lot of these women on the show haven't.
No.
You know, because they're caught up in this huge lie. So, what were your thoughts on this huge, shocking revelation that apparently more people knew than they thought?
The moms were the dumb ones in the situation, not the kids. Like, they really thought their kids were completely oblivious and not at all. But I didn't understand why Ed was so upset. Well, relating to the kids, not the other stuff that we'll talk about later. But with Perry being the father to Ziggy, and then them being related to Max and what's the other one's name?
Josh, I believe. Max and Josh.
Let's go with that.
Max 1, Max 2.
Yeah, Max 1, Max 2.
They look very... They're twins.
Yeah,
they're
twins. Let's call them twins. Yeah. That's a whole nother family's business. So what stays in their house, what's said in their house, stays in their house type of thing. So you're not really entitled to that information. Now you're connected because your daughter found out and then told them.
Right.
And then inserted herself into all that mess. But for him to feel disrespected or feel like she lied to him, it wasn't a big thing to me.
No, I agree with that. At first, I get where they were going with it by the end of it, which we'll talk about. How that was just kind of like the setup for the affair. We'll just say it, the affair. We'll talk about it now. So stay tuned. But after, I completely agree with you. I'm like, Ed, calm down. And I just think that he's on edge ever since we saw the woman at the grocery store. What was her name? Tony? Terry. Terry.
Yes.
Shout out to also the comments. See, this is why we love y'all for reminding us that that's the woman of...
Get us in check.
The woman, the wife of the...
The guy that Madeline had the affair with.
Exactly.
There's a lot of names.
Yeah.
There's all these characters. This is why this is the new Game of Thrones. There's all these characters. I don't know who's going to die next. No, but that's interesting. He is... I think Ed's definitely playing a bigger part than we thought, for sure.
Yeah.
excuse me. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. Mary Louise. How could I forget? Silly me. So she finds out about this. Good old Meryl Streep and her taste.
That woman is awful. I don't like her.
Okay. So clearly she believes this is her business because, automatically, that means Ziggy is my grandchild. And I want to know. This even makes me question you more, Celeste. And she's interrogating Celeste. And she's, even though she knows, Celeste is like admitting for the first time, your son raped me and abused me and... It led to all these things. She is just kind of manipulating the situation and making Celeste to be out this big monster, which is clearly not helping Celeste to begin with, because she already thinks she's a monster. So yeah. What were your thoughts on this whole mess?
I love that when this happened, Mary Louise was off camera. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but the whole, when she was, yeah, like she said the whole thing about Ziggy going on, and we just see Nicole Kidman's less face, mm-hmm. just like, oh my goodness, what is about to happen?
Yeah.
But I think this leads bigger into transparency, not only with the moms, but with the children as well. Like, at the end, we see the kids asking about it, and like, was my dad a bad person? She's like, no, he was beautiful.
Drink. Like, a beautiful monster?
See, I was like, what? No, this beautiful? Is so bad. And you see how it manifests in the different kids, which is a whole different thing. Like, mm-hmm. you see, Ziggy's pretty put together, and I feel like it's because Jane is very upfront, even though, you know, she holds off what she feels like she should as a mother, telling her son, but that's a whole other topic, but
he hasn't been exposed to any, like, violent tendencies.
Yeah.
Or have seen it, mm-hmm. or felt it.
Exactly. And yeah. I think it all has to do with parenting, but the fact that Mary, I was so frustrated by her response, and it just goes to show, Nicole Kidman was so, she's so powerful in her performance, and in this moment, I feel like it was going to play out a lot differently. Like, in my head, I was like, when she tells Mary Louise, mm-hmm. it's going to go down, Mary Louise is going to, like, something's going to flip in her head, she's going to be like, oh my goodness, it'd be mm-hmm. so empathetic. But, of course, the show never gives us what we think is going to happen, right. and we just see this scene, it almost played out so, it was average almost. Like, the whole conversation.
Celeste's part?
Yes, when she tells Celeste, you know, what happened, or when Celeste tells her what happened. I just thought that was pretty wild how it played out. It was
I completely agree. I completely agree. Reason being, because I think, like you said, Nicole is phenomenal mm-hmm. as Celeste. And I think one of the more powerful scenes of the characters when we're seeing her in therapy, especially in season one. I believe I was reading that season one, the scene with her and Perry, that was, they didn't rehearse at all that scene. And that scene was beautiful, beautifully performed. And so I think just like, I really look forward to her in the therapy sessions because I feel like that's when she's the most vulnerable. That's mm-hmm. when she's most hurt. That's when she's most truthfully honest, because this show is called Big Little Lies for a reason. I remember the doctor asked her, imagine Madeline in your shoes.
That's powerful.
And Celeste was just, no. And I got chills when she was saying no, because that shows that character cares so much about her loved ones, mm-hmm. her family. I feel like her friends are her family. She's mm-hmm. even, like, obviously last episode, she's trying to give money to Jane because she cares about mm-hmm. that's Perry's son at the mm-hmm. end of the day. So
want to say the scene with Mary Louise and Celeste, it was a prime example of victim blaming and how the reason why there's so many issues with situations like that when it comes to rape or abuse is the inability to be empathetic. And Mary Louise instantly thought about herself, did not put herself in Jane's shoes or even the kid's shoes. It was like, no, my son would never do that. And she was like, your son was terrible. Well, she didn't say that, but that was essentially what she was saying. And she can't, I mean, maybe she never saw her son like that, but she clearly, like, showed her lack of understanding or just, like, emotional intelligence to mm-hmm. take what was at face value.
And he's the one who raped someone, and then they have a kid, and she was like, why didn't you tell me?
I'm like,
he's the one who did it. She had
no empathy at all.
It was scary. It was really jarring to watch. And then what you said about you think why Ziggy's the most composed, and it's because Jane is so upfront. I think it shows why it's so important to have really hard conversations with your kids when the time is right, and not save it for 5 years down the line, because it's better for them to hear it from you versus
kids
out in the school. And then then you have to, like, backtrack and fix everything, and it, mm-hmm. like, they've already been tainted by that information. So even though it might be, like, a grown person topic, these kids are gonna face it out in the world eventually. Exactly. It's inevitable. So just have it with them and you, as opposed to people outside.
So, Jane, you're doing a great job as a mother in communicating with the child.
Bravo.
You know, even though, like, she didn't tell him, but, like, you know, but she's
complex situation.
Exactly. She confronted him like she should have.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Told Ziggy like she said about it and had that hard conversation.
I'm just upset because Mary Louise was gonna move out to an apartment, give some space.
No way.
But when she saw, I did get scared for Celeste when she pushed Max.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
that? Oof. So I'm like, oh my God, is she becoming
And then
Perry?
When she was like, don't be like him.
Yes. And then Mary Louise obviously saw.
Yeah. She didn't say anything, and so which I'm I thought was good. I was like, don't mother for Celeste. Let her do her exactly. job. Let her get better as a mother. And the thing, too, that I really appreciate about this is I think slowly but surely we're seeing Celeste with the help of therapy. This is just hope to so many survivors out there watching the show, because you see her starting to become stronger. I mean, she shouldn't have pushed Max,
right,
not at all.
Right.
But to say, you know, to finally, in a way, sort of confront her children about it, like, don't be like right. your father. Mm-hmm. She's growing her power back. She's gaining her power. And it's good to see her, and I hope that yeah. she continues to heal. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a big step, I feel like, mm-hmm. to actually say it out loud.
Yeah. yeah, that was an important scene. And I just, last thing I'll say is that the only thing is, obviously, Mary Louise is going to use that against her. I saw you push, like, mm-hmm. when she goes to yeah. the police or whatever, she's going to... I saw you push your kids, yep. and so that's not going to be a good
so
look
right.
on Celeste.
Jeez.
Another good look that's not good, the affair. So let's just talk about it. I was waiting to talk about this, because this was when our jaws dropped, and people got scared for us. They're like, did you see a bug? When we're watching
was
it in
there
studio.
Blood on the screen?
Okay. So our girl Abby, everything's not going well in her house where she lives. She lives with Bonnie and Nathan.
Yeah.
But Abby is talking to her mom, Celeste, Madeline, by the end of the episode. And I forgot she knew that yeah. Madeline had the affair. And when she said that out loud, Madeline's like, that's so inappropriate. And all of a sudden, Ed heard it all. He's standing yep. in the doorway. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are your thoughts on this? Because I have a lot of I have a lot of thoughts on this. And I love you, Madeline. But still.
Yeah, I felt for Ed in this moment. The last time he wanted to pick a fight with Madeline, I was like, chill. But this time, my heart went out to him. I didn't feel bad for Madeline at all, because she's, I think, the biggest perpetrator when it comes to keeping lies under the carpet and not being vocal and transparent. So that was really tough to watch. And I mean, she explained it, like, try to mm-hmm. hopefully get his empathy and to be super apologetic. And he was like, I'm done. And I completely get that. Because when he found out that Abigail knew for a year, that just shows that she never had plans of telling him. Why would you? If, like, it went
a year
successful without him knowing, it'll be fine.
And the fact that she was like, it was a long time ago.
No.
It was last year,
a year ago?
Goodness Girl. Gracious. I just have so many feelings. And for me, I think Ed handled it really well.
Yeah.
That was a very powerful scene between the two of them. You know,
not
he didn't
violent.
Really raise his voice. No. Not violent. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to, like, scream or yell or maybe leave the house and be like, I don't want to talk about this. But to talk about it with her, I thought shows what kind of man he is.
He's a good husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I really, the thing about Madeline is she's so outrageous in her actions, mm-hmm. in her body language. But I feel her genuity in every scene. She's so genuine mm-hmm. and authentic. And I really felt her love for Ed. I'm not mm-hmm. saying what she did is excusable at all.
Yeah.
At all. I'm actually mad at her for
moment
it.
Of extreme
but she
weakness.
Really, yeah, but she, you can tell in that scene, she really loves him. And the same thing I was going to say earlier when she, you know, came up to Bonnie at the school and was like, are you okay?
Mm.
In some moments, I really feel like it's not always about her.
Yeah.
But most of the time it is.
It
she
is.
Was at that, she no, was in that, it's yeah. not about you, Ed, it's
right.
about me. And I was like, yeah, it is about
no,
you.
No.
It's always about you.
Excuse me. No, totally. She says, it's not about you, it's about me, immediately. But then she goes to say, it's about us. But I feel like us kind of equivalated to me
yeah.
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
girl. She puts Madeline first all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I just don't know where, I don't know exactly where they're going to go, but I have to say shout out to Adam Scott, who plays Ed. I love yeah. seeing, I'm so used to him from Parks and Rec.
I know.
So I he's doing phenomenal.
He is.
Yeah. He's the best
Ed
man on the
in
show.
In this drama. Hey.
So,
who would you marry from Big Little Lies?
Ooh, that should be a special segment.
I know who I would marry.
Ooh, let's do it.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Who?
Wait,
just say it.
Just for superficial reasons, Nathan, because he looks good this season. As a husband, probably not. Nathan, and then Ed's personality.
Okay. But
maybe Ed.
Ed, yeah.
He needs somebody to love him.
Someone
like Madeline.
Faithful to him.
I will say
Madeline
just, can. And I'm not going to sit. Okay, Perry is not... I don't want to marry Perry. He's horrible. He's
no.
abusive.
No.
But I just have to say, first and foremost, Alexander Skarsgård is like one of my Hollywood crushes, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go with Ed.
Yep.
Bottom
yeah.
line, Ed.
Ed.
There you go. Not Gordon.
Not Gordon.
Oh, no.
But speaking of special segments, let's go ahead and get to our special segment.
Yes.
Presented by Mia.
Hello.
Why you always lying?
It's the perfect theme song because this week, we're not going to play Liar Tribe, but we are going to play Two Truths and a Big Little Lie. So I'm going to say three trivia facts about the show, and you guys tell me which one you think is the lie, and the other two will be true. So, number one. HBO won the rights in a bidding war versus Netflix for the show. Who knew? Number two, we have Bonnie, so Zoe Kravitz, and Nicole got so close during filming that Bonnie actually, I keep saying Bonnie, Zoe Kravitz bought the house next to Nicole Kidman in Nashville. They got really close during shooting. And then finally, when they filmed the therapy scenes between Perry and between Celeste, there was no rehearsal. They did it off the bat. They were emotional, and it was like it was the first time.
I'm going to say...
Okay, I know.
I'm going to say the lie is Nicole Kidman and Zoe Kravitz moving in next to each other.
I think that's mine, too.
Just because
I think I said one of the truths.
Oh, you did?
I'm so sorry.
You guys want to know, I'm letting everybody in on this right now. So when I wrote these down, I really was like, no one's going to know these. And the lie was actually going to be they filmed the therapy scenes 11 times, but you already knew it. And in the middle of the show, I was like, no, Ollie's so smart. He's such a super fan. He knows.
That's how I knew it wasn't a lie.
I felt like because this is such a huge cast and such a huge show to come, like, I'm like, there was sure to be bidding wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. For sure.
And so, fun fact, it was actually Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman.
Oh.
So, they got so close that Reese bought the house next to her in Nashville.
Wow. Yeah. They're BFFs in real life.
Yeah.
I've never played I've never played Two Truths and a Lie, but that was so much fun.
I know.
Maybe next week. Tell us which game you like better, if you like Lie or Try, or if you like Two Truths and a Lie, because we can change it up.
Yes, mm-hmm. But before we get to news, because Simone's taking over news and gossip this week, because Jesse can't be here, we have to do our special top three segment.
Yes.
Of top three Meryl Streep films, because we've got to give her this credit right now because it's Meryl frickin' Streep. So AfterBuzz is giving you our opinions of our top three Meryl Streep films performances that she's been in. So who would like to start? Simone? Mia?
Yeah. Oh, we can just take the line.
I'll go because I feel like we know I'm just a super fan of this, but we know it's not her, it's her best, but it's like not. Meryl Streep is just amazing. She's a lot of the best, but this is my opinion, so... Mamma Mia, we'll start with Mamma Mia.
Okay.
One of her best films, personally, love musicals. Mm-hmm. Meryl Streep is the main character. We get to see this fun side of her. I feel like she's so serious in so many films. And we get to see this really fun side of her. We get to see her in overalls, which is amazing. She's musical. She's talented. She wasn't in number two, Mamma Mia 2, as much as we wanted her to be, but she still made a reprise. And it just is Meryl to just be so multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. She's ridiculously fascinated.
The best.
Fascinated. Faceted.
Yes. Yes. And
Simone,
fascinating.
Simone, what is your pick?
Mine is The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh.
Of course, she played Miranda Priestly. That hair, dude, that gray. Have you guys seen it?
Yes. Oh,
of course. That silver gray hair. And then the cut just made her so much more fierce. She was awful, so mean, but she played it impeccably. And then you see her in roles like in Mamma Mia, and she's sweet and lovable. It's completely starkly different characters, but the movie's great. I'm a journalist, so to be able to see a woman play her assistant and how she's so awful to them, but they kind of like rise above and they're friends towards the end. Wonderful movie. Love it.
Well, my pick has got to be something that she's been nominated for. Mind you, she's been nominated 21 times.
That's insane.
Which is ridiculous. And my pick was her in Sophie's Choice, which is number one, first and foremost, but my gosh, to be a Holocaust survivor and have to portray a mother who has to choose between one of her kids being killed, one saving, like, how could you not freaking award this woman all and give her all the praise in the world? Like, she's ridiculous. So I highly recommend you watch Sophie's Choice and watch Mamma Mia. Watch Devil's Wear Prada. I almost forgot. I'm so sorry. Because Meryl freaking Streep is Meryl Streep. And those were three completely different roles, too.
Yeah.
And this is why she is a
Meryl
famous
Streep.
Internet meme.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And shout out to Brie in the booth because she is a Meryl Streep super fan.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
As we are. So let's get to news and gossip. Right, Simone?
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Alrighty. So last week, when we, the premiere episode, Reese Witherspoon commented on someone's tweet, which said, I hope at some point this season someone looks Meryl Square in the eye and says, your son was trash, Mary Louise. Hashtag big little eyes. And then Reese responds, there is a high likelihood of this happening this season. So I like that she commented. So she gives us kind of a little bit of clue to what to look out for, and hopefully Mary Louise will be snapped back into reality and learn that her husband or her son was terrible.
I love it.
Well, she kind of did it this episode.
Yeah, but she just didn't, like, realize, but hopefully whoever that person, maybe that was the scene Reese was talking about.
Well, I'm waiting.
I hope there's more.
I want a Madeline versus Mary Louise.
Yes, we do. That would be so good.
We need a UFC poster.
Who would win? Who do you guys think would win?
I'm rooting for Madeline. Team Madeline.
Yeah, all the way.
Just saying.
And then our second topic is that the house that Madeline's character, well, Reese Witherspoon's character is Madeline. The house that she lives in the show is actually in Malibu. It's not in Monterey, and it's currently on sale to rent. So it would be $3,000 to $5,000 a night. And it's been in other shows like Hannah Montana, Diagnosis Murder. It's really expensive. So, like, rich people, not people like us.
But
it has 7 rooms and 8 bathrooms. It's a Cape Cod styled house, and it's a beachfront property. So as you guys can see, these pictures are gorgeous. It's a nice little spread. So if you got $5,000 to drop, put in your bid.
Maybe go with a bunch of friends and split it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring about like 50 friends.
Exactly.
You might be able to afford it.
Exactly. Why not?
So, yeah, if you want to just live your Monterey fantasy, go for it. But it's in Malibu, not Monterey.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for news and gossip.
Of course.
News and gossip queen, and of course, our special segment queen.
Yes.
But unfortunately, we are running short on time. We have to get to predictions real quick. So let's get our rapid fire predictions.
TV predictions.
Who would like to go first?
I am going to kind of believe Elizabeth. I think she is clairvoyant, and she said someone is drowning. The show is set in a beach town area. So, and in the preview, we saw someone in the water. I don't know who it was, but they looked like they were like struggling for air. Maybe not. But I feel like a drowning is happening. And in this episode, Celeste did say that Madeline saved Max from drowning. So maybe that could be like a foreshadowing, another drowning.
Okay.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know what to think, but you guys, listeners, viewers, let us know your predictions, all your thoughts, anything we missed, because we have to wrap up, unfortunately. But until next time, where can I find my amazing hosts on social media?
I am on Instagram as Yours Truly Mia and Twitter as Hot Mess Mia.
And you can find me at Simone A. Thomas on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, and don't forget to check out our fourth host, Jesse Zader, at AthletChick.
Yes.
On Instagram and Twitter. And I'm your host, Ollie Dredden. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And until episode 3 next Sunday, we will see you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.